mean, this has happened now. I mean, it best not be said, but you mentioned the fact that the Council State, right after Thampert was going out. Well, he wanted his chair, and they wanted flags. Flags that Terry had, the governor. And I thought just automatic. Ed Lanier, and that was pro-Sanford. I was part of Sanford. And I thought, hell, just automatic. The outgoing governor takes the flags with him. If somebody raised a question, you couldn't give him the damn flag. I said, you what? You give a governor North Carolina, he's got a set of posted flags here? So I went to Ed. I said, Ed, go find out what the damn thing's called. We'll just pay for it. That's just one little instance. And I said, damn, it's going to be this way all the time. But it wasn't. That's just going on. You know, things were pretty bitter. Not bitter. I mean, they were feelings. And they are today.
What was the atmosphere or race relations in the 60s, right there?
That was very important. That was very important. In fact, Marion, since you mentioned it, he mentioned the word Coltrane a while ago. I think Dave Coltrane made his greatest contribution. What was that? They put him over there.
The Good Neighbor Council?
Yeah. In fact, right now we need one of those things right now. And we need somebody, some one person, man or woman, or I don't know. See? In that good neighbor council, that's right.
How did Sanford get along with the race?
He liked that. Sanford can still speak for himself on that, but I'm sure he will say that. I haven't discussed it with him, with Sanford.
They had affiliations with black leaders, or were there any black leaders?
Yeah. That's a very touchy subject. At that time, I was on the board of A&T. I don't know why I ever got on that. I'll never know. I won't get into all that. But I'm the only human being, I think, I stand to be corrected, left on that board to pick three presidents, A&T. And, yes, there was a lot of feelings there, but a lot of tension about that.
Were you there when Dr. Proctor was?
I am the man that brought Proctor to North Carolina. He ain't got time for me to go through all the table, what happened on that damn thing. Well, I was at the Herbert Association, a man named Bluford, Dr. Bluford, and I was trying to help. A&T had a farm out there outside of Greensboro, and I was trying to help him upgrade the farm. And God almighty, Hodges was governor, and I lived in Winston-Salem at the time, running the Dixie Classic, was secretary of the full-time of the North Carolina Herbert Association. And right after Hurricane Hazel, I don't forget that. What year was that?
58.
Huh?
No, it was Hazel.
50. What year was that?
I thought it was 54.
Anyway, that's the year I said, Lord, you let me out. I'll never manage a fair again. But I had three sales right after that damn thing. And Hodges was governor. Scared me. I got caught speeding twice. Got the miles on something. I got caught in LaGrange, North Carolina. I went through it. And I got back to the office. And said, Governor Hodges calling you. Oh, my Lord. He found out about my speeding ticket. He called me down here and said, I want to point you on the board of A&T College. You what? Well, hell, let me think. No, I got to know today. Well, hell, I'd agree to most anything that day. I was so relieved. And so I went on that board. And within a year, Dr. Bluford died. Bluford died. Then I tried to get A&T accredited. That's when all that stuff began to start. Henry Scott, Carl Scott's brother, was on the board, smart old gentleman. Hank George Sockwell, a black man named Dr. Davis, and a boy named YMC up there, and man, my Rick over here in Durham. And anyway, we went. And Bob Frazier was chairman. He was mayor of Greensboro. Bob appointed me on the damn search committee. Well, I should have said no, but I didn't. And hell, I met Martin Luther King. I met Whitney Young. I met Dr. I had boxes at high and I had myself, good gracious. So anyway, finally said, look, we can't find a man we want. Let's make Dr. Gibbs acting president. Well, they bought that. And then it all wound up, we offered a different one, Benjamin Mays down here in Atlanta, and then I went to Luther Falls, Tuskegee, and all those things. And I cut myself, hey, you, Graham, you spend all your time on this damn thing here. Your job is, at that time, the market thing had developed. And he couldn't travel because they watch where you're going. I mean, you know, they run out of something burned, but it got interested in it. And all the time, this black thing was going. That's when all this thing locally here, and I kept running into little things. So, damn. And the guy that everybody wanted, they wouldn't accept him because he had no PhD degree. And Hodges, he wanted, the politics wanted to, sort of down here on a Fayetteville State named Rudolph Jones. Rudolph said, Mr. Graham, I don't want that. I don't, he didn't want to go, you know. And then the old whatever boy, twin, they had all this, they owned the faculty and all that. So we landed, a man named Dowdy, Lewis Dowdy, was a good man. But they wouldn't let Lewis have it because he didn't have his PhD. So that's two or three things. So finally, Hodges said, you dragging your feet. I said, God, we're not dragging the feet. Well, get somebody. You empower me to get somebody, I'll get somebody. We went to Luther Foster, Tuskegee, and he's thin-looking black man anyway. Then he got pale, said, we want you to be president of A&T. No. It was really an exciting experience, really.
Why were all these people turning it down?
Because they knew about that unrest, they knew about the situation in North Carolina, and they knew that it wasn't a credit. You know, and that, I was trying to prove that we in North Carolina were moving forward on education, particularly black, and I'm a strong supporter of black institutions, which may be changing now. But anyway, we finally, I said, I've ruined my career now. I'll never be commissioned by a coach. Sam Proctor. He could drape. He could go to Virginia. He could make a speech, you know, just all his own. And so we made it. And all the ag coach folks turned on me then because he was a religious man. He wasn't, but he was a man at that time. And I said, now, Sam, all I ask you to do is please stay here at least two or three years. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Graham, I'm going to tell you. He did well, first, until Sergeant Shriver came down here and said, I want you to head the Peace Corps. He was long gone. At that time, he thought he could be president, really. He really thought that. By that time, I'd gone off the board, but then they put me back on it. Dan Moore, we got to have you. The black community, they said they had faith in me. So.
Well, how did you establish that report? I went
without any, just straight down the line. I mean, I didn't line myself with anybody. I mean, I just went straight down. I said, one objective would get A&T accredited and find the best man to be president of A&T. And I went with Bill Fry. I name him. And anyway, Dr. Dowdy at that time had gotten his doctorate. And they wanted to have another search committee. I said, there ain't no need to have another search committee. The man is right here on the campus. And that's when he made me. Lewis Dowdy will tell you that today. Yeah. And
How do you think North Carolina has done in race relations? How have we stacked?
As what, Marin?
In race relations. How has North Carolina done compared to Alabama and Mississippi and that kind of thing?
North Carolina was looked upon then as one of the leaders, you know, in positive thinking. North Carolina was looked upon as a leader in the South, not as radically Mississippi as Alabama, and that's because of Terry Sanford, in my opinion. And, of course, there's a black man, John Winters. Not John Winters. John?
Larkin.
Mm-hmm. You read John's book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Larkin was my contact man. John Larkin was the man that never lied to me. John Larkin was the man that, he was my contact man with the black community, and a man named Dave Moorhead, and then a man named Murray Davis, who's now dead. Murray and I traveled together, and he wanted me to go with him everywhere. He wanted me to see what about underground. I went underground, all that mess. And but Murray all of a sudden didn't want me to travel with him anymore. I found out later that he had this Sugar Babe down there meeting him in Atlanta. Oh, but anyway, Dowdy made a great thing. That's when all this uprising come.
But Proctor was there too during some of that.
Proctor?
Wasn't he there in the early 60s?
Early, yeah.
Did you all ever? Did Sanford?
Sanford wasn't involved then. Is that what I remember?
About the students at A&T and what, you know, that was a time when Jesse Jackson was becoming a campus leader.
And yes.
Marches and downtown Greensboro.
Yeah, Jackson was there.
How did you find yourself during that time?
I found myself very uncomfortable at that particular time. And I knew right then that Jackson was going to be a player in this whole thing. I don't know what Sanford's for me. I went off of it under Sanford. That's the way it was. I felt I'd give enough time to it. I saw myself getting to be a catalyst or getting to be shot down. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I ever run for public office in North Carolina, I couldn't have other damn blacks against me. And I couldn't, I would be real blunt about it. But at the same time, I knew that I didn't want to have a stigma on me too that I was, you know what. And I'm going to say something right now, gentlemen. Right today, don't want to admit it, but race is still a fact. You want to look at endangered species in 1994, what was that? The Eastern North Carolina white Democrat is no more. That's true, realistic fact. I hate to say that.
You thinking race has been that the factor in that?
Please don't put that in there. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking frankly, I trust you. I mean, I know Howard and I know of you, but I mean, just like yesterday, that they had demonstration down here on this environmental thing. You know what they're hollering? Racial environmentalism.
What is that?
Huh?
What's that? What's racial environmentalism?
Well, they claim that they're putting, cut that thing off. They claim that they're putting these hog farm, turkey farms in black neighborhoods, poor income. Your great thing was your chicken special that you wrote.
Well, that was Dwayne Walls. You mean about the out-migration?
Yeah, but you didn't you write one about chicken special?
No, that was Dwayne.
Dwayne? Observer, yeah. Am I mixed up? No, that was Sanford. He was able to get through all that.
Well, that's sort of the question, though. Why was he able to get? He had Lake on one side, Sanford on the other, and race relations.
That's just the political fate there. Mm-hmm. Had enough understanding people.
But he couldn't translate that to somebody else.
Rich Pryor couldn't. No, Rich couldn't pick it up. Rich couldn't. Rich just couldn't. They thought Rich was, and I liked him. And of course, Emily was overbearing. You know, I mean, Emily, you go out and.
Emily, his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you knew that. I mean, but she's a great labor classmate of my wife. Oh. But that's just one of those things that I look back on Howard from my own personal entity, how I survived it. And you stopped man alive, but at the time you just.
How did you?
Well, I don't know. I'm still here, and I want to stay alive in '95. Get out of this fix in '96. Not long enough. No.
Well, I see a sign up there says it may be used, but I ain't used up.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But I'm trying to wear the fear of a patient man. Patience is the thing. I've written a lot of letters and tore them up the next morning. I said, I'm going to sleep on that. I did something last Saturday down there with me last Thursday. First time I've ever written a letter to the editor.
Really?
Yeah.
First time?
Yeah. You can't outthink, outwork, All right, SOB, a man or woman that buys ink by the barrel or the gallon or paper by the ton.
That's true. Did you send it?
Huh?
Did you send your letter?
Yes. And they printed every word of it.
About the NNO?
NNO did. Yeah. Yeah. But back though, about Sanford, I learned a lot by just watching Sanford. Yeah, he calculate moves. Yeah, I learned a lot from Sam, and I promised him, and this is a challenge. I told him that I'm going to be the best appointment that you ever made. And the Lord let me live long, and I proved it. I'm the only one that's left of that original group.
I wish you'd restate that. I didn't get it on my tape. You told Sanford.
I told Governor Terry Sanford that it was my goal, my challenge, that I would be the best appointment that he ever made. And that's been one of my goals, to work in that way, to be the best appointment he ever made. And approved it. I won 8 times, led the ticket 5 times. And had opposition. Well, I liked to run unopposed. Unopposed 3 times. Cost a lot of money, less money that way. But today now, gentlemen, this TV and you got to change with it. The things you were using then will not be effective today. And I go back. There's nothing static but change. Change. And I repeat again, you got to make things happen instead of watching things happen and wonder what happened. And I have kept my promise to myself and the good Lord. I make contact with Terry every July 30th by letter or by phone. I was in Japan one time and I wouldn't move till I called him. And I think he'll attest to that too. Now I marvel him. I mean, I admire him. He's not a hero. Well, he's one of my heroes, one of my, and because he gave me my chance. See, I never would have had that chance hadn't been for him.
One thing that you've seen that I can't think of anybody else who may have seen, but is the inside operation of state government under both the old Democratic kind of organization and the newer Republican bipartisan government. What difference has it made?
It's got more participation from your people. And if people think they're left out, they're going to have an opportunity now to drive that car. I mean, they're going to have a chance to, like for instance, they've made a contract now. Let's see if they're going to fulfill it.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that a lot of people want to be players, and now let's see how they play. First, about term limits. All right, naturally, term limits, I mean, I wouldn't be I believe in electing people, naturally. But there's some people even appointing them. And I've watched states that have appointees, and they some of the worst states in the country where they're appointed every 4 years. Like, for instance, Tennessee. I worked with 6 different commissioners of agriculture in Tennessee, 5 different ones in Virginia. But by being able to stay in continuity, I've been able to put together a staff around me. It's not on me, but it's the people I got around me that help me with these different things that marketing, goodness programs, sales programs, like out here, and the thing we got to do about all professional peanuts for all the professional football team from little old town north having a peanut over here. And I mean, those are the kind of things that you got to do. But, Howard, I'm not being evasive to your question.
But I'm thinking, I mean, you sat around the table with Jim Holzhauser.
Right, and I'll say this, Jim Holzhauser was one of the good governors of North Carolina. Jim Holzhauser was good to me, and I liked him. And I met with him the day after he was elected. He didn't have no idea he could be governor of North Carolina than you did. But I reassured him that the election was over. I was going to serve and work for him just like anyone else. Because Gene Anderson, I didn't trust Gene, but Gene's a mean, shrewd mother, and I said we got established right quick. And Gene said, Jim, you're a good son of a bitch. Okay, well, I had a compliment. Some people got mad. But Hochschilder made a good governor. And you're gonna, I'm going to make you another prediction. Hochschilder right now, damn, you're going to take over that board of governors. Chapel Hill, Washington. And that's just between us. I mean, that's a change. Won't that be a change? Mm-hmm. Or will it? Jim Martin's going to be a player in that, too.
What difference? How did things change when Martin came in?
The legislature, you know, you're seeing right now a legislature that's not only they're not only legislating, but they're running executive. We were taught legislative, executive, judiciary. Now the legislature's, you know, involved in a lot of changes happening there. I don't know the answer, but I mean that's just from my standpoint. But I enjoyed more than others. But the winning days of Seven was happy. Of course, I was close to Hodges. Tried to get me to go with him in C&D, but I stayed at that market out there because I committed to it. But Dan Moore was a good. Now Dan Moore was sort of status quo, but he was genuine. He had a steady pace. I mean, he's a very judicial, very patient man. Then of course Scott, Bob came in, and right now he enjoyed working with Bob Scott. And then of course Hochschilder, then Hunt. Isn't it strange? Think now, you're a Democrat. Then you had the Republican, who had Hochschilder. And right after Hochschilder, you had Hunt, first time. And right after Hunt, who'd you have? Jim Martin. Mm-hmm. Are we getting to a revolving door? Of course, now, next time we shall see if Hunt runs or Vindroot runs or whoever runs.
Vindroot's running.
Huh?
Vindroot's running. He's already running.
Yeah. All right, so... The way that we get in on that, we're going to be talking about Terry Sanford.
Well, no, that's part of what I'm interested in, too, is this political change in the state that you've seen.
I've seen and participated in and survived it, and I don't know where I can survive another or not.
But
some people are already picking meat off my bones now. But they ain't going to get no virgin. I'm not being egotistical or arrogant, but I still got a little fire left in my belly. And, of course, it depends on your health and all like that. But it's been a thrill in a way. And I don't know where the time has gone. But, you know, time is an essence. But now, if you love what you're doing, see, Howard, I don't have an aptitude for writing. You do. And you developed over the years. Well, I never thought that Howard Covington wrote for Charlotte Observer be writing the damn Gardner magazine. Did you?
No.
Not really. But I see now where you got it from your father. I mean, and he's a very genuine man. I mean that. I mean, because I knew about him in Mississippi State. He was in school with Jim Buck Ross down there. And up in the mountains. But I'd probably still be in the mountains if a man like him had been up there when I was there. I mean, you know, you just can't imagine. No telephone, walking away out there 14 miles from nowhere. That's some of the best years of my life. But back to this thing now. There was a political experience up there, Republican and Democrat.
Do you think that shaped you in a way that was perhaps or prepared you, maybe?
Oh, ain't no question.
A way that was different from what somebody coming out of eastern North Carolina?
Exactly. Was. Yeah, I know it. Well, really, I made a move to very, and I don't think I'm going to jump too quick, you know. So I made a move and I got knocked down. I said, okay, if that's what it's going to be, I shall go to, as old said, we'll go to the mountains and seek help, give you strength. Then I'll go and I'll prepare myself and I'll come back when I'll be ready. And that was in my mind. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it now, but that. It's not being egotistical or arrogant, it's just that. But if you love what you're doing, I love my job. I love North Carolina. I love its people. I love agriculture. I love my job. If the day, man, that I can't come in this office and can't wait to get here, that's the day I'll clean my mess and get out of here. And that's the way it is. But it's getting awful tough right now with all these hurricanes, all these different features, environmentalists, stuff like that. And you try to be considered, try to be balanced. And you watch Sanford's career. Sanford's had a balance. You know, he's supposed to be well, but he'd always come along with something to keep a level playing field. Is that the way y'all see it? And
always trying to do something.
Oh, he's well. He's out
digging a new canal now.
Yeah, no question. And you know, I told him probably the best thing that happened to him when he didn't win this last time. That's hard to say.
I think you might agree with you.
I mean, really. But I learned one thing, gentlemen. I'm not a politician, but I learned one thing about politics. If you get sick, for God's sake, don't do like Everett Jordan did, come out with a damn robe on so they look like walking death. I can get a picture of Terry Sanford in the hospital. People ain't going to vote for you. And it's still, forgetting that, but Fairclough. Now, Fairclough ain't never liked nobody but Fairclough. You know? I mean, just think about it. But now, but he elected him, that don't you think race had a little something to do with that? Really?
Well, I've always wondered if it wasn't that indirectly, at least it was Jesse's.
It didn't directly affect, but that feeling was there. I don't know. I'll tell you something else I learned.
Wait a minute, let me talk about that a second. How did you see that play out in that race?
I didn't participate.
No, but I mean, just as an
observer. I went down for Sanford. I mean, I supported Sanford.
Yeah.
But I saw right away we were in trouble because they made one of them, the right in Pitt County, and I didn't know it was going to be that bad. And I saw this whole thing. I've been seeing this thing coming on, Howard, for the last two elections, but I didn't think it would be the depth it was. I mean, I knew it was there. I'm in a meeting, I said, all these push girls said, here's what I said. And boys are testifying that fact. I said, as I go around the table, I was last hear what you said. Either I been going to the wrong places, been talking to the wrong people. Because this what you're reporting is not way I don't think it is out there.
What were you hearing that was different from?
Huh?
What were you?
Well,
hearing?
I was hearing this. Anti-Sanford stuff, anti this, and fed up with government, fed up with Democrat, fed up Democratic.
Were they upset with Sanford because they thought he was a liberal, or they thought he was on the wrong side from them on the race issue, or because he was
no one. Thing is, Steve, you're saying specifically put your finger on it, Howard and Marion. No one thing, but the accumulation of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And those added up, and those people were upset, they were mad, and they wanted to express their feeling. And they were just sort of tired of it. I think race was a real factor. Mm-hmm. They were tired of Jesse Jackson. And I heard this, and I didn't catch it. They were tired. A lot of the blacks didn't turn out because they were tired and disappointed in their black leadership. Now, that's always, you can say, it's smart, but I didn't catch that, but I see it now. And they were tired. And they had friction over here in the legislature, you know.
Some people say the Democratic Party has lost its organization, it's lost its momentum,
it upset.
Got people to the governor, polls, and did the things that the political party did when you were first elected.
Well, you know that some people say the party's left them, or have they left the party? Now, I think right today now, there's no question Clinton have a tough time. No question. But let's see what happens for next year or two. Let's see what happens next year. You know, and then we can take look at it and tell. There's no question Hunt's running. A lot of things can happen, you know.
If you had, within the Democratic Party in, say, in the 60s, you had a faction or a group like, the Dan Moore, that Dan Moore represented when he was governor, is that any different from what a Republican governor might represent today? I mean, did the Democrats just start electing Republicans like Jim Martin instead of...
See, Jim Martin, though, was a different kind of Republican. Jim Martin had that business community behind him. Jim Martin was an educator. Jim Martin was clever. Jim Martin was good on his feet. Jim Martin, you know, he caught probably by surprise, you know, the element of surprise. But I don't think you can compare, say, like the Dan Moore and the Sanford thing till today, I mean, really intelligently. For instance, Lacey Thornburg thought he'd go roll out of those mountains. He like Dan Moore, but he didn't because times have changed. See what I'm trying to say?
He didn't have that base in Eastern North
Carolina. And Dan Moore almost didn't have it till that Lake thing came to him.
If Lake hadn't swung, he wouldn't have been there.
Ain't no question. So you see, that's something you can't, that actually happened. But it did not, it wasn't something that was created. Well, I've got to get ready to go to another. Okay. Is there any other question? I mean, I'm glad to have. Well, no, I'll tell you what you've done. You stimulated my thought. I'll be glad to.